Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we are going to be focusing on the news for the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our first article is entitled O.D. Harris, Accountability is Essential for Public Trust. This was posted in the Santan Sun News, April 26, 2026, by Councilmember O.D. Harris, Arizonan guest writer. The events surrounding an off-duty police sergeant who allegedly came to Chandler to provoke conflict at a high school protest demand serious reflection and decisive action. If the allegations are true, this behavior was not just poor judgment, it was an intentional betrayal of the badge and the public trust that comes with it. Every sworn peace officer carries a responsibility that transcends their shift set schedule. The duty to uphold peace and protect citizens does not turn off when the uniform does. Accountability must be extended both on and off duty because integrity has no clock. Our nation's Constitution gives every person the right to speak, assemble, and express themselves peacefully. That right is sacred. It is the foundation of our democracy. When someone entrusted with law enforcement authority allegedly seeks to manipulate those exercising that right, it undermines both law and liberty. The idea that a peace officer may have attempted to bait young people into committing crimes is disturbing and unacceptable. That is not preserving public safety. That is abusing public power. Here in Chandler, our community has long embraced peaceful demonstrations from mental health awareness to movements like Black Lives Matter and Stop Asian Hate. These events showcase democracy at work. The young people who speak out during protests are not threats to be managed. They are voices to be heard. To be clear, demanding accountability is not anti-police. It is pro-professionalism and pro-community. Our Chandler police officers exemplified restraint and service in how they handled this public protest. Their work stands as a model of calm, disciplined law enforcement. That's what public safety should look like, protecting rights, not provoking reactions. Law enforcement professionals are granted immense authority, and with that comes immense responsibility. When someone abuses that trust, it diminishes faith in all the honorable officers who wear the badge with pride. If an officer's off-duty actions betray public trust, consequences are not harsh. They are necessary. A peace officer's oath is to keep the peace, not manufacture conflict. Accountability is not optional. It is the cornerstone of public trust. And that trust is what keeps our community strong, safe, and united. End of story. O.D. Harris is a member of the Chandler City Council. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek Braces for a Summer of Teens and E-Bikes. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent May 3, 2026, and written by Janet Pettis. With the summer school break almost here, Queen Creek leaders, police, and residents are bracing for even more teens driving their e-bikes around town. To that end, the Queen Creek Police Department has started a campaign to warn kids to follow the rules of the road when it comes to e-bikes. Quote, "In recent weeks and months, we have seen an increase in juveniles operating e-bikes, riding unsafely, ignoring traffic laws, and in some cases attempting to flee from officers," end quote, QCPD Chief Randy Bryce stated in a department video on Facebook. Quote, "In many of these cases, there can be serious fines and even criminal charges that parents slash guardians or your children could face," end quote. From January 2025 to April 2026, QCPD reports there were 1,834 calls for service regarding juvenile disturbances, including those involving e-bikes. From January 1st through April, an estimated 20 e-bikes were impounded. This is hardly a new concern for the town. In 2023, Queen Creek expanded its permitted use of motorized devices as part of an ordinance adopted into the town code. Quote, "I know we are not alone and that this is an issue all over the valley," end quote, Councilmember Jeff Brown stated in a text. Quote, "I'm not advocating that kids shouldn't have fun or should be relegated to screen time or staying at home playing video games. It's just a small percentage that are riding in a manner that creates unsafe situations for themselves, for other motorists, and for pedestrians. The town's ordinance outlines the permissible operation of bicycles and other power-driven mobility devices throughout Queen Creek. There are three types of e-bikes. All have motors under 750 watts and have factory-installed pedals that power the bikes. Class 1 and 2 e-bikes have a motor-assisted top speed of 20 miles per hour and are allowed on sidewalks, multi-use trails, paths, streets, and bike lanes. Class 3 e-bikes have a motor-assisted top speed of 28 miles per hour and are only allowed on streets and bike lanes. Riders on the roadway must ride on the right side of the street or in the designated bike lane. Riders must yield the right-of-way to pedestrians and equestrians when riding on sidewalks or multi-use trails and paths, Bryce stated. At night, all of these devices must have white light at the front and a red reflector or light at the rear, and a functional brake is required. The chief also focused on motor-driven vehicles with motors of 750 watts or higher, with or without pedals. Riders of such vehicles must have a Class M license or endorsement, registration and insurance, and helmets for riders under 18. As with the three classes of e-bikes, motor-driven vehicles must have a front white light, a rear red light or reflector, and a functioning brake. Motor-driven vehicles are prohibited on sidewalks and multi-use trails and paths and must follow all traffic laws. Bryce noted that vehicles sold as electric scooters are considered motor-driven cycles if they weigh more than 75 pounds or go over 20 miles per hour. Riding without proper licensing, registration, or insurance, or operating on sidewalks and trails can lead to reckless driving charges and other serious consequences, Bryce stated, and you may also face citations for contributing to the delinquency of a minor under Arizona law. For information on what types of motor-driven vehicles are permitted and where, visit www.queencreekaz.gov/motorized devices. End of story. Janet Pettis can be reached at jpettis@iniusa.org. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek Parent Does What Schools Don't, Teaches Finances. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, May 4th, 2026, and written by Samantha Ray. Seeing gaps in how financial literacy is taught in public schools, one Queen Creek parent decided to build a solution aimed at helping students navigate real-world financial decisions. Pierre Willis, founder of Wise Wallet Academy, is an Arizona-licensed career and technical education instructor, a veteran, and a father and caregiver. He designed Wise Wallet Academy, a financial literacy curriculum with the neurodiverse learner as the primary focus. The online platform teaches what Willis has coined, quote, street-level economics, end quote, real-world concepts of financial management, such as decoding a pay stub, recognizing phishing, and navigating high-interest debt traps, taught through visual self-paced simulations. Students on the Arizona Board of Education Student Advisory Panel recently told the board that the financial literacy education embedded into their required economics courses focuses on memorizing terms rather than real-world application. Exactly the gap. Willis designed Wise Wallet Academy's street-level economics curriculum to fill. Memorizing terms doesn't prevent a predatory scam, Willis said. He has two daughters with learning differences, Deshae, 23, who is diagnosed with autism and nonverbal, and DeJore, 16, who has an individualized education program, IEP. DeJore was an integral part of the Wise Wallet Academy's development, helping shape the curriculum as Pierre regularly sought her input on how concepts made sense to her while developing lessons on topics like bank statements and pay stubs. Wise Wallet Academy is a learning platform similar to Canvas or Blackboard. 40 interactive lessons are split into different modules, each containing videos, activities, and check-ins. the lessons are built around financial scenarios and concepts that students are likely to encounter in the real world, but not in their economics classes. The mock pay stub lesson, for example, walks students through the different ways people earn income, including salary, hourly, and gig work like DoorDash or Uber, before teaching students how to decode a pay stub. Willis noted that DeJory, although familiar with the services, didn't know what gig work was until going through the curriculum, underscoring how real-world financial concepts often go unaddressed in traditional school settings. One lesson presents the students with a bank statement showing $300 in earnings, but only $14 remaining. The lesson challenges them to find where the money went, revealing, quote, invisible leaks, end quote, in the form of streaming subscriptions and other recurring charges. Another lesson teaches students about paycheck shock, walking first-time workers through what happens between a job offer and an actual paycheck. Students press a button labeled, quote, apply deductions, end quote, and watch in real time as federal taxes, Social Security, and Medicare drain their gross pay down to their net earnings. They shouldn't learn about taxes and deductions when they get their first paycheck, Willis said. They should know that's common, and a lot of us do have to find out the hard way and be disappointed. Students' understanding and comfort with the material is gauged with check-ins as they move through modules, allowing parents and teachers to track student progress through their own portal. That data can also be attached directly to a student's IEP, giving families concrete documented evidence of financial literacy growth to reference at IEP meetings. Several design choices were made with neurodiverse learners in mind, from color use to interactive elements that give students more control over how they move through the material, even down to how questions are asked. The check-ins, for example, use emojis paired with text, allowing students to rank their comfort level with financial concepts on a scale from not great at all to really good. It's a small but intentional design choice for learners who may process information differently. Willis said Wise Wallet Academy's design for neurodiverse students benefits all learners, creating a clearer, more effective experience for everyone. Wise Wallet Academy is available to individual students, and Willis said he is working toward the ultimate goal of adoption by schools and districts across Arizona. The curriculum is also accessible to homeschool families and students using the state's Empowerment Scholarship accounts. While the lessons are not yet live, families can now visit WiseWalletLLC.com to join the wait list. For Willis, the stakes are personal, as he often considers DeShay's future and what happens to her financially when he is no longer around to protect her. But this challenge extends beyond his own family. I would just like to challenge others to look at ways we can improve the future for our kids, Willis said. This is my way of trying to improve the future for not only mine, but yours and whoever else's. If we look at things from that lens, maybe another parent will come up with something, because we're seeing our kids and what they go through and how they're going through it every day. Now, do we just wait for someone else to fix it, solve it, or address it? Or do we say, hey, you know what? My kid can benefit from that, but so can his or hers. This story is made possible through grant funding from the Arizona Local News Foundation's Arizona Community Collaborative Fund. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt. I'm your volunteer reader. Continuing on, our next article is entitled Residents Voice Concerns Over Proposed Boundary Changes Near Queen Creek. This was posted in the Santan Valley News at santanvalley.com, May 1st, 2026. No author is listed. Residents in portions of Santan Valley are raising concerns over proposed planning decisions tied to future boundaries in the Queen Creek General Plan, prompting questions about how growing communities are being defined. A group of homeowners from Santan Valley neighborhoods, including the Parks, the Meadows, have begun speaking out ahead of scheduled June 3rd town council meeting, where officials are expected to consider updates related to General Plan Amendment P 26-0020, concerns over inclusion and exclusion. According to communications shared by residents, the concern centers around which areas are being included or excluded from long-term planning boundaries associated with Queen Creek. Residents say their neighborhoods located in unincorporated Santan Valley have historically been viewed as part of a potential planning area but were never officially incorporated into the town. Now, with the proposed updates to the general plan, those same areas may be formally excluded from future consideration. For some homeowners, that shift is raising concerns about long-term services, identity, and how growth decisions are being made. Broader questions about growth strategy. In their statements, residents question whether planning decisions are being driven primarily by infrastructure, tax-based considerations, or long-term community development goals. They also pointed to nearby commercial and service developments, including medical facilities, retail centers, and public safety infrastructure that serve both incorporated and unincorporated areas, adding to confusion about how boundaries are determined. At the same time, it's important to note that general plan boundaries do not automatically indicate annexation, nor do they guarantee future incorporation into a municipality. These plans are often used as long-term guides rather than immediate commitments, a familiar issue in a growing region. As both Santan Valley and Queen Creek continue to grow, questions about jurisdiction, services, and identity are becoming more common, especially in areas that sit near existing town limits but remain in unincorporated Pinal County. Not all areas of Santan Valley fall within proposed town boundaries, and changes to planning maps can impact how residents view their future, whether that includes incorporation, annexation, or remaining unincorporated. Upcoming meeting. Residents interested in learning more or sharing input can attend the upcoming meeting on June 3, 2026 at 6:30 p.m. at the Community Chambers, 20727 East Civic Parkway in Queen Creek. Additional details and official documents are available through the Town of Queen Creek's Public Meeting Archive. End of story. Our next article is entitled Fire Ban in Effect Across Pinal County Parks Through September. This was posted in the Pinal County News, santanvalley.com, on May 4th, 2026. No author is listed. Visitors heading out to local parks and trails this summer will need to leave the campfire gear at home. The Pinal County Open Space Trails and Regional Parks Department has implemented a seasonal fire ban now in effect across all county-managed parks, trails, and trailheads. The ban began May 1st and will remain in place through September 30th, 2026. What's not allowed? Under the fire ban, the following are prohibited: campfires, fire pits, charcoal grills, smoking in all areas. These restrictions apply even in developed campgrounds and designated picnic areas. What is still allowed, visitors can use gas or propane grills, but only in designated areas such as semi-developed and developed camping sites. Why the ban matters. Fire restrictions are put in place each year as temperatures rise and vegetation dries out, increasing the risk of wildfires across the region. Even a small spark can quickly spread under summer conditions. County officials are asking visitors to follow the rules to help protect open space areas, wildlife habitat, and nearby communities. What to know before you go. If you're planning a trip to a Pinal County park or trail, skip anything that creates an open flame. Plan meals around propane or pre-prepared food. Avoid smoking while on trails or in park areas. Always check for updated restrictions before heading out. The fire ban will remain in place through the end of September unless conditions change. Residents and visitors are encouraged to take these precautions seriously as wildfire season ramps up across Pinal County. End of story. Our next article is entitled Santan Valley Nonprofit Offers Horse Camps. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, May 1st, 2026. No author is listed. Manes and Miracles, a therapeutic horse riding nonprofit, is offering a variety of summer camps at the ranch at its Santan Valley venue. The camps at 43421 North Friend Avenue offer kids 3 to 14 years of age, quote, a unique opportunity to connect with animals, explore the outdoors, and build confidence through hands-on learning experiences, end quote, according to a release. Quote, designed to spark curiosity and creativity, Summer Camp at the Ranch is a series of day camps that blends animal care, STEM-based activities, and classic camp fun in an engaging, supportive environment, end quote, it said. Campers will learn about horses and other animals while participating in interactive games, team-building challenges, crafts, and water activities under the supervision of a trained staff. Summer Camp at the Ranch is all about learning through play while connecting to animals, to nature, and to each other, said Executive Director Lindsay Pittman. We create a space where kids grow together through the magic of the horses and the ranch environment. The camp builds on the organization's mission to bring hope, happiness, and learning through play with a variety of scheduling options to fit everyone. Arizona's summer heat can really limit opportunities for kids to get outside and stay active, Pittman said. We've designed camp to maximize outdoor and indoor fun in a way that keeps kids safe and engaged, even on the hottest days. Campers wrap up with new skills, confidence, friendships, and memories that last long after summer ends. With limited spots available and high demand each year, families are encouraged to register early. There are 3 riding camps for beginners, 8 a.m. to noon, June 1st through the 4th, and June 8th through the 11th, and a 2-hour one on June 22nd through 25 from 6 to 8 p.m. An advanced riding camp is scheduled July 13th through 16th for kids who have attended another Manes and Miracles camp or have ridden a horse previously and are comfortable with an assisted trot. Single-day options are available. There also is a junior day camp for kids 3 to 6 years old from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. Families interested in registering or learning more can go visit manesandmiracles.az.org or contact admin at manesandmiracles.org. About Manes and Miracles, Manes and Miracles is a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the lives of individuals with physical, mental, and emotional challenges through adaptative riding and equine-assisted therapies. By combining the healing power of horses with a compassionate community, the organization creates meaningful opportunities for growth, connection, and joy. End of story. Our next article is entitled, See Where You Can Get the Cheapest Gas in Queen Creek. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, May 2nd, 2026, and written by Jeff Wendt and Janet Pettis. Gas prices are up again across the region as oil prices jumped again this week. Prices in the valley rose 4 cents this week to $4.82 a gallon, while the state average rose 4 cents to $4.71 a gallon, and the national average rose a whopping 34 cents a gallon to reach $4.39 a gallon, according to AAA Arizona on Friday. Queen Creek also saw a dramatic bump at the low end of the price spectrum. At Costco on 2220 South Ellsworth Road, the price for a regular gallon of gas rose from $4.25 a gallon last week to $4.69, according to GasBuddy.com. The lowest price can be found at the Shell on 21198 East Ocotillo Road at $4.67 for a gallon of regular. Several area gas and convenience stores are reporting average prices of $4.75 to $4.89 for a gallon of regular. Quote, Oil prices have surged above $100 a barrel with no indication of when the Strait of Hormuz will reopen, end quote, said AAA Mountain West Group spokesperson Doug Johnson in a release. Quote, gas prices are the highest they've been in 4 years, end quote. At the close of Wednesday's formal trading session, oil rose $6.95 to settle at $106.88 a barrel. The Energy Information Administration reports crude oil inventories decreased by 6.2 million barrels from the previous week. At 459.9 million barrels, U.S. crude oil inventories are about 1% above the five-year average for this time of year. At the same time, gasoline demand increased last week from 9.05 million barrels a day to 9.10 million. Total domestic gasoline supply decreased from 228.4 million barrels to 222.3 million. Gasoline production decreased last week, averaging 9.8 million barrels per day. Arizona remained the seventh highest gas market in the nation, behind California at $6.01, Hawaii at $5.64, Washington at $5.57, Oregon $5.15, Nevada $5.12, and Alaska $4.92. According to GasBuddy.com, the cheapest gas in the valley can be found at Sam's Club in Gilbert, at Gilbert Road and Houston Avenue, and at Sam's Club at the Tempe Marketplace, both at $4.10 a gallon. End of story. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Santan and Queen Creek. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.